Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi. Jai Gandavike Girare, Gandavike Girare Shivade. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvathikara Tatsa Pasirisi Mahat is Divine Ghost, Iskand Founder, Chaya Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 19. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalobhadayaschaye cheta etaranavidam shtitam sattve prashidati tadarajastamo bhava Kamalabhadayaschaye Cheta etar navidam Shtitam sattve prasidati Tadarajastamo bhava Kamalabhadayaschaye Cheta etar navidam Shtitam sattve prashidati Tada. At that time, Raja, in the mode of passion, Tama, the mode of ignorance, Bhava, the situation, Kama, lust and desire, Lobha, hankering, Adaya, others, Cha, and, Ye, whatever they are, Chetaha, the mind, Etai, by these, Anavidam, without being fixed, excuse me, without being affected, a little tiny bit louder. Shtitam, being fixed. Sattve, in the mode of goodness. Prashidati, thus becomes fully satisfied. Translation. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Purport. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter. And as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or Shuddha sattva. Only in this Shuddha sattva stage can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves by being devotees by their outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Tadarajas tamo bhava kamalobadayas chaye jeta etar navidam shtitam sattve prashidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. Oma gyan timidandasya ginangina shalakaya chaksunimilitam jainatasmai sigurvena maha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So again, we're studying these very fundamental verses of our Krishna conscious philosophy, as we find here in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Prabhupada begins his purport by saying that the living entity in his original constitutional position, spiritual life, is fully satisfied. He's blissful. And Prabhupada calls this, he says two things. It's called the Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. It's also called the Brahma-Bhuta stage of existence. And this Brahma-Bhuta stage of self-realization is also described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's helpful for us to hear this particular verse in which Krishna describes the Brahma-Bhuta stage, because it gives the criteria for one who's self-realized. He says, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakanshati samasardeshu bhuteshu madbhaktim libhate param. That one who was thus transcendentally situated, he at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, and he becomes joyful, he becomes blissful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He's equally disposed towards all living entities, and in this state he attains pure devotional service to me. So Prabhupada mentions the Brahma-Bhuta stage, and here is the actual qualities of one who's self-realized. It's important for us to understand this criteria so that we know where we're at in Krishna consciousness. Just like there's certain symptoms of different stages of Krishna consciousness. As we read in Upanishadamrita, there's the Kanishtha Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, the Uttama Adhikari. And it's important to know where we're at in Krishna consciousness so we know what is the next step forward. Just like when you're driving down the road, Krishna consciousness is sometimes called the path of bhakti. We often use that phrase, the path of bhakti. So when you're going down a path, when you're going down a road, especially in modern times, there's certain signs which indicate where you're at. You know, you're 400 kilometers from Warsaw, you're 200 kilometers from Warsaw, you're only 50 kilometers from Warsaw. So by seeing those certain signs, you know where you're at in relationship to your journey. So there's certain symptoms or certain signs also in the path of devotional service, so we can know if we're making advancement towards the goal. You know, if you're going down the road to Warsaw and, you know, it goes 400 and 300 and 200 and 150, well, you know you're making progress towards Warsaw. But if it goes 400, 600, 800, 900, you know, maybe you're going in the wrong direction. So we need to know, what are the signs that we're making advancement in Krishna consciousness? So a few of those signs are mentioned in this Brahma-Bhuta state of Krishna consciousness, that Nasochati, Nakanchati, that personality who's advancing in Krishna consciousness, he's never hankering or lamenting for anything. These are actually two sides of the same coin, because as soon as you hanker for something, you try to achieve it, and because everything in this world is temporary, eventually you're going to lose it, and then you're going to lament. Prabhupada described material life like this, hankering and lamenting. We're always hankering for sense gratification. The amount of pleasure we get from it is very little. It's fleeting. It's gone within a short duration of time, and we're left lamenting. So nasochati nakanchati, a person who is Krishna conscious has no interest in this material world. His happiness is always increasing. Ananda buddhi bhadavanam, because he's engaged in Krishna consciousness. His pleasure is spiritual. It's unlimited, not like material pleasure. So you won't see a transcendentalist in a state of hankering or lamenting. He'll always be joyful because he's on the Brahma-Buddha platform, because he's always involved in Krishna consciousness. So if we see within ourselves that we're hankering or we're lamenting, it means that we're not fixing our mind on Krishna. We're somehow still on the material platform where we still have material desires, and we have to adjust our course accordingly. So it's important to be able to understand the signs of advancement. Also because if we see the symptoms of Brahma-Bhuta in a advanced devotee, we can take shelter of that devotee and by his association transcend our material desires. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shrishta koi, lava matta sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. This is one way we can overcome our material desires, by imbibing the spirit of devotion to Krishna by associating with advanced devotees. Shastra says that we have to make friendship with devotees who are more, we have to take shelter of devotees who are more advanced than ourselves, we have to make friendship with devotees on the same level of Krishna consciousness, and we have to be merciful and help devotees who are less advanced. Unfortunately, sometimes it is that unscrupulous persons who are not actually on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, who are actually still performing devotional service under the modes of material nature, are still hankering and lamenting for material things, they may sometimes pose themselves as advanced devotees. Prabhupada says here that the harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. Sometimes a devotee may appear externally to be, you know, dressed like a devotee, but actually in his heart he may have impurities. He may try to, this is the type of cheating business. It goes on. And just like in the Bhagavatam, there's the story of a great yagya was being performed, and Indra was very nervous because he was afraid that if the persons performing that yagya got the benefits of that yagya, they would have more pious credit than he had, and they would usurp his position in the heavenly planets. Indra is always nervous like this. When he sees the sages or the yogis performing great penances and austerities in the earth planet, or he sees kings performing great yagyas, he gets a little nervous, because Indra is actually, the position of Indra is just a post. Someone is there for some time, and then, you know, the next whatever, Divya Yuga or whatever, then the post changes. So Indra's a little nervous that somebody may take his. So sometimes when he sees a sage performing great penance and austerities, he'll get a little nervous. Oh, he's going to get too much sukriti, too much pious credit, and he'll usurp my position. He'll become Indra. So he sends a Baba calls a society girl, a prostitute from the heavenly planets, an apsara, they're called, down. And that the idea is the apsara is supposed to entice that sage to break his vows and fall down and lose his pious credit, lose his advancement in spiritual life. So one time there was a big yagya being performed. Indra became very anxious. So there was a horse, a sacrificial horse, which was to be sacrificed in that yagya. prized thing, the sacrificial horse. The Brahmins could sacrifice the horse in the fire, and because of their tejas, because of their brahminical power, the horse would come out as a human being, thus proving their brahminical tejas. They wouldn't just kill a horse. It wasn't like that. The horse would be offered in the act of sacrificial fire, and out of the fire would step a human being. The horse would be elevated to the human form of life. So these type of sacrifices went on. So Indra, he appeared at the sacrifice as a sannyasi, because he thought, well, if I come as a sannyasi, nobody's going to even know that I'm going to, you know, worry that I'm here to do some mischief. He appeared as a sannyasi, and in the guise of a sannyasi, he stole the horse. Because the kshatriyas were there, they had their security team, like we have our security team. We're always looking out. But we're looking for the guys with the shaved heads, the big scars, the black belts, the black boots. We're looking for the skinheads. If some, you know, little, some teenage boy comes along, he's nice, he's clean, he's nicely dressed, he's speaking politely. We don't suspect him. We suspect in others. So Indra posed himself as a sannyasi. And he came there at the right moment. He jumped on the horse and flew in the sky and took away the horse. So sometimes it is that persons pose themselves as the in the renounced order of life, and they carry on doing all kinds of nonsense activities. Externally, they appear to be pukka, but internally their hearts are black. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions this in one of his songs. He says, Eto eka kalya chela mata neda karpni para tilak nake ghalaya mala sahaja bhajana karchena mamu sange parera bhala. He says, here is an agent of Kali. He has shaved his head and dressed himself like a Vaishnava renunciate. He is wearing tilak and neck beads and worshipping Lord Krishna, but his real interest is actually in taking another person's wife. Heavy stuff. Why is Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking so strongly? Because at that period of history when he appeared, it was about 400 years after the appearance or the departure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, in the public eye, Vaishnavas were not held in very high esteem. Why? Because they were dressing themselves as renunciates, and they were dressing themselves as Vaishnavas, but they were misrepresenting the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were openly and blatantly engaging in illicit activities. They were taking lots of ganja or marijuana, and as a result, they were lazy and productive. They had no purity, no realizations. They were engaged in illicit sex. They were engaged in all kinds of mafia activities. You know, they were poisoning themselves, because in India, a person who dresses in a renounced order of life, he's naturally offered some respect, but people had lost respect. So he wrote this verse. Here's an agent, actually an agent of Kali. He's shaving his head. He's dressing himself like a Vaishnava renunciate. He has neck beads and tilak. He's worshipping Krishna, but his only interest is really sense gratification. And his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he also had to deal with a similar phenomenon, especially with the Babaji's at Radhakund. We read in Upanishadamrita how elevated the place is Radhakund. It's the personal bathing place of Srimati Radharani. The waters of Radhakund are considered to be like her liquid prema, liquid love of God. And it is at that place that Radha and Krishna have their rendezvous. They have many sporting pastimes. So it's a very appropriate place to take shelter. To take shelter. So the tradition is that very advanced souls, who Vatshavegam, Manasakoda, Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Upashtavegam, have full control over their minds and senses, are actually renounced from this world. They go there to cultivate their spirit of bhakti, their love for Radha and Krishna. This is all they have to do. They live there in very simple dwellings. They have no material business. They live by madhukari. Madhukari means you go out and beg. They don't work for their means. They only take what is required. Madhukari means you can go to 4 or 5 houses, not more. You go and you say, Radhe Sham, outside the door, and the Mataji or the Prabhu is coming to them, he's looking, and you hold out your yati for begging, and whatever they give you, you have to be satisfied with. And you go to the next door, Radhe Sham, and they hear that, there's a sadhu begging, they give 5 houses. Whatever you get in 5 houses, that's all that you're allowed to take. This is Madhukari. So sometimes you'll get a feast, sometimes you'll get a few grains of rice, but you're taking your vow, you know, you're your vow of austerity, and then you, because you, they don't work, because the mainly just want to sit and chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Like this, this is a the renunciate, those who go to the sacred abode, Vrindavan and Radhakund in particular, they're just into this bhajan, for Radha and Krishna bhajan. They're not interested in any material. But when Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur used to take his parikrama around Vrindavan, the big parikrama around Brajmandal parikrama, not just around the town of Vrindavan, but the Brajmandal parikrama, the whole area of Brajmandal, they would go through Radhakund. He was asked one time, how many Babajis are there in Radhakund? He said, I have been to Radhakund, I have not seen one real Babaji. So he was, they didn't appreciate him very much. And sometimes on his parikramas, these Babajis, so-called Babajis, who were actually keeping girls on the side and, you know, trading in money and goods and things like this and so forth, and, you know, they became very angry with him. And one time they stoned his parikrama as it went around that part of Vrindavan. They threw stones and Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati and his party. So, you know, during the times of Bhakti Vinod, in times of Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati, they were, you know, posing themselves as sadhus, but their character was very much different. So we have to actually know the qualities of the devotee so we can know whom to take shelter, and we can also understand our own level of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada gives this one criteria. There's many criteria, of course, but here's one criteria which he chooses to say. He said, this state of existence is called Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati nakanshati. This is a real stage, because if you're going to be Krishna conscious, it's natural that you're going to be renounced from this world. You can't have one foot in this world and one foot in the spiritual world. Of course, that is a stage of Krishna consciousness. But to be really self-realized, one has to have given up all interest in this world and be fully absorbed in devotional service. So one symptom is nasochati nakanchati. He's not hankering or lamenting for anything in this world. Because that stage of hankering and lamenting, it doesn't make one joyful, it makes one miserable. Because your desires are never fulfilled in this material world. It's an incompatible situation, as we've discussed many times. The spirit soul in material existence is an incompatible situation. The soul, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, cannot find satisfaction in a world which is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. It just doesn't work. The combination of the soul, the dynamic, conscious, living soul trying to enjoy this dead, lifeless, material energy, it's incompatible. It doesn't work. He's not going to be happy. He's going to hanker for the enjoyment. He's going to get it. He's not even going to be able to enjoy it. And he's going to lose it, and he's going to lament. So this is why we are sure and certain that anyone who is not Krishna conscious in this world, he's not happy. He may pose himself as being happy with his wealth, his prestige, his money, his fame. But we know that within his heart, he's not actually. Mr. Bill Gates is not the happiest man in this world. He has everything from the material perspective. But we know, if he's not Krishna conscious, he's not happy, because it's an incompatible situation. Spirit and matter cannot mix. So they're always hankering, and then they're lamenting. This is called, there's a Hindi proverb, or Hindi statement that says, the dekili ladu, or you could say the deli ladu, the deli laglu. They have a famous laglu in Delhi. It's very big. Big, big laglu. And it's cooked in very heavy oil. And they want to make lots of them. So the first class laglus you get in the sweet shops, very nice sweet shops, they're cooked in ghee. And that's easy type to digest. If you cook something in ghee, then you digest it very quickly. But if it's cooked in oil, like heavy oil, like they do sometimes in India, they cook things in heavy oil like this. Yeah. The Indians, they can digest with these lots of chilies. But, you know, general people, when you, they say that deli ladu, you're hankering for that ladu. Oh, I want that laglu, I want that laglu. And yeah. Then you eat it and you get stomach ache, you're lamenting. This is the example they give, the deli laglu. Prabhupada used that in relationship to our attraction to this material world, how we hanker and then we lament. Specifically, he said about sex life. Pumsha stadiyami tuni bhavantayo mito ridaya grante moho. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. based on this attraction, which ties again to the hearts of the man and the woman, one becomes attracted to his body, to his wife or her husband, to the children, to the household paraphernalia. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So this is a false attraction. It ultimately entangles us and causes us to suffer. The adiras, the original attraction, is to Krishna. You'll never be disappointed if you put your faith in Krishna, if you spend your time serving Krishna. But if we put our faith in material objects and try to enjoy them, it'll be like a Delhi Luglu. You're hankering, oh, I just had this boy. I get this boy. And then 6 months later, I got rid of this guy. If I just had that pretty girl. You know, we're talking in the material sense, of course. In our movement, we do it by astrological combination, and it's based on Krishna consciousness, and we work together to serve Guru and Krishna. We know what to expect. It's a devotional relationship. But in the material world, you can imagine, the boy is wanting, as Prahlad said the other day, to squeeze the flesh, and the girl wants to squeeze the flesh, thinking that by squeezing that flesh, I'm going to get happiness. The soul is going to get happiness by squeezing the flesh. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're going to be disappointed in the long run. There's a study done that in Western countries, 3 out of 4 marriages end in divorce because it's just squeezing the flesh. So it's like a Delhi Laddu. You're hankering for it. When you eat it, you get sick. So one who's in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't hanker or lament because he's fully satisfied in the devotional service of the Lord. So at the present moment, we can honestly say we're aspiring for this stage of Brahma-Buddha. We have to look at the roadside. Where am I? Do I ever meditate on material things or sometimes have hankerings from... do I have material desire? Tak, da, yes, see, we. We do. We have those. We're not on that level of Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma. We are hanging. We're in a fallen condition. At the present moment, we are affected by the modes of nature, especially of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hanging. They are in the heart. How did this lamentable state of affairs ever happen? Prabhupada gives the example in one of his purports that just like a drop of water is in the cloud, it's in its pure state. Sometimes, in some countries, they like to collect this rainwater. They consider it the purest water before it's touched the ground. It's pure, that drop of water. It's coming, falling down. As soon as it hits the ground, it becomes contaminated. It becomes muddied. So in our original state, we were Brahma-Bhuta, Prasanatmana, Sochati, Nikanchati. We're not hankering and lamenting for anything material. We were equally disposed towards all living entities. We were Krishna conscious, but due to a slight misuse of our independence, we fell from grace, we fell from the spiritual world. And what is the muddied consciousness? We came in contact with the modes of nature, particularly the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion. It's not so bad, the mode of goodness. Krishna describes the mode of goodness as illuminating. And in his purport, Prabhupada said, first the devotee, he tries to elevate himself to the mode of goodness, and from the mode of goodness, he elevates himself to the Sutta-Sattva platform. You can't go from the state of ignorance or passion into Sutta-Sattva. You have to take one step at a time. That's called brahminical life. We situate ourselves as Brahmins in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said the mode of goodness is a stepping stone towards transcendence. And we all know what it means to be a Brahmin. There's no hope of becoming Krishna conscious unless we can cultivate the qualities of a Brahmin. And from that we can go into Sudhasattva, or pure goodness. Because material goodness, although it's a stepping stone, it's not the ultimate goal, because Prabhupada, there's a sense of conditioning in that mode of goodness, and I'm happy. Probably that's the most happiest state of consciousness you can have in the material sense, the material or the mode of goodness. That, you know, you're clean, you're regulated, you know, your eating habits are good, your mind is controlled. You know, you're in the material world. It's the best state of affairs in the material world, but it's still a material conditioning. It has to be transcended. You have to go to the spiritual platform. You have to awaken your love for Krishna. So, you know, do we have... Are we affected by the modes of ignorance and passion at this stage of our Krishna consciousness? Well, we can look to Bhagavad Gita again and see what are the symptoms of one who's in the mode of ignorance, one who's in the mode of passion. We already know what it's like to be in the mode, in Shuddha-Sattva, Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma. There's some symptoms given there. But what are the symptoms of one, for example, who's in the mode of ignorance? Well, Krishna describes the mode of ignorance in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Verse number 8. And we can listen very carefully to this verse and see, do we have any ignorance in our hearts? Krishna says, O son of Bharata, know that the mode of goodness, or rather, excuse me, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned souls. So are we affected by any of these qualities? Are we mad, indolence? Are we attached to sleep? Maybe a little bit by sleep. But are we mad? Is anyone here crazy? Well, what is Prabhupada's definition of craziness? He once wrote an article, Who is Crazy? Because on the streets of America in the early days, people used to use this phrase, oh, you're all crazy. So Prabhupada heard, oh, they're saying we are crazy? Who is crazy? He described crazy as one who is on the bodily platform of life. This is the sign of madness. One who's on the bodily platform of life, one who identifies with the body, one who thinks, I am the body, and all the designations of the body, like, I'm a Russian, I'm Polish, I'm American, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm black, I'm white, I'm yellow. If one identifies in any one of these ways, he's considered to be mad. Just like, well, are we attached to the body? One time Prabhupada was driving to Mayapur with some of his disciples, and he nodded off to sleep, and the disciples stayed awake, and in front of the disciples, in front of the car of the devotees, there was a truck, and the truck ran over a man riding a bicycle, and he squished him on the road like a pancake, and there was just flat like pancake, and there was, you know, blood and gore, and Prabhupada didn't see it, but the devotees were, oh God, that poor man. Prabhupada woke up. Oh, Prabhupada, this horrible thing happened. This man got squished by a truck. He was riding his bicycle. Prabhupada, you were only affected, he said, because you were still in the bodily platform. You were thinking the man is his body, therefore he's experiencing the pain. But actually, as soon as he was hit by the truck, the soul left the body. But because you identify with the body, you think, oh, he's on the road, he's suffering. So you are all on the bodily platform of life. And if we experience any agitation in our mind for sense gratification, it means we're still on the bodily platform, at least if we contemplate it. Sometimes thoughts may come due to our past sinful activities, but if we're Krishna conscious, we won't entertain them. Like Bob Dylan, he said, don't look twice, it's all right. You can look at her or him once, but if you look back twice, there's a sign of attachment there. Right? She walks by, he walks by, and you see, Hare Krishna. But if you look twice, if you ever catch yourself looking twice, that means you're still on the bodily platform. Uvaga, uvaga. You know. So this is that we're still, honestly, we may still be on the body, somewhat on the bodily platform of life, the bodily concept, that we can get happiness from squeezing the flesh, from enjoying the senses of the body. This is madness, because you're not the body. It's like when before I was Krishna conscious? Am I Krishna conscious? Anyway, before I was a devotee, I was married, and my former wife's father was mad. He was crazy. He was normal, and then one day he went boing! He went completely crazy, and they put him in a mental hospital, in the insane asylum. And we used to go visit him. I used to hate to do it. You know? My wife would say, we're going to see my dad. Oh, God, I got to do something else today. You're going to come and see my dad, you know? But he's crazy. You have to be nice to him, you know. So we go to this madhouse, and, you know, we would walk in, and we would meet people. You know, because they were able to walk around. They weren't tied down or anything. They weren't the violent mad. They were just mad. You know, hello, who are you? Oh, my name's Napoleon. Nice to meet you, Napoleon. My name's Winston Churchill. You know, it was a guy who used to be Jesus Christ. You know, he was giving a sermon on the Mount all the time, you know. You know, and you'd have, you know, Adolf Hitler, you know, playing checkers with Winston Churchill. It was crazy, you know, and you'd come back next week, they'd be somebody else. So they would think they would imagine they were their brother, or they were their sister, or they were a dog. One guy was, oh, you know, like, so we laugh, because it's silly, right, to think that you're something that you're not. But really, we're only laughing at ourselves. As long as we're in the bodily concept of life. If we think that we're Russian or American or French or German or man or woman or black or white, or that we're this body, or we think that we can squeeze some enjoyment out of this material world, we're just as crazy, we're just as mad as my, you know, father-in-law, who was my former father-in-law, who was imagining he was this, that, or another thing. It's the same state of consciousness. It's the mode of ignorance. And the results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. So we have some work to do in our Krishna consciousness. And passion, Krishna says, the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti, and because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruit of actions. Unlimited desires and longings. Do we have unlimited desires and longings on the material platform? One of the offenses against the holy name is to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so much on the subject matter. To hear about Krishna consciousness, to hear about the beauty of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, and still to maintain some hankering and lamenting for this world, this is the mode of passion. So what to do? We have to be honest, there's still some anarthas in our heart. Anartha means what is wanted. Anartha means what is unwanted. These modes of passion and ignorance, which are manifested as hankering, desiring, lust in our hearts. How do we deal with this? How do we get rid of this? Well, this verse says here, Tada rajas tamo bhava kamalo badayaschaye cheta itaya navidam shtitam sattve prashidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of these modes immediately disappear. This is how to cleanse the heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses the phrase cheto dharpanam marjanam, to cleanse the heart. You have to cleanse the heart of these lust and these anger and these greed, which are symptoms of our contact, our contamination as a result of associating with this material energy. So how do we cleanse the heart of those unwanted things? As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, by the medium of devotional service, the heart is cleansed. Now, what types of devotional service are there? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with what? Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing, like you're doing right now. By submissive oral reception. Just sitting here and listening, even though you may not understand everything. The sound vibration, the Shabda Brahma, is going in your ear, into your mind, your heart. It's cleansing. Therefore, we have to attend Bhagavatam class every day. Hear the glories of the Lord. As Lord was giving the class yesterday, we hear the effect of submissive oral reception, which is one of the nine processes of devotional service. What is the effect of sitting in the Bhagavatam class and hearing the glories of the Lord? Nasta prayashu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. By regular attendance on classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. We can never underestimate the potency of this satsang, sitting here and hearing the glories of the Lord, even we don't understand everything. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said of our own Prabhupada, I accept him because he hears nicely. And Prabhupada admitted, but in the beginning I didn't understand everything Guru Maharaj was saying. And one time I was sitting with Prabhupada and he was speaking in Hindi. And I didn't understand a thing. I didn't know one Hindi word. I only know one, toda toda, little, not too much prasad, little toda. Like choo-choo, and a few Russian words, choo-choo, toda. And then I was falling asleep. Like, why are you sleeping? Prabhupada, we don't understand Hindi. It does not matter. This is Shabda Brahma. You simply listen and it will act. Of course, it's better to hear and understand, but in the beginning, we're so much in the modes of ignorance, so much in the mode of passion, we'd hardly understand anything. And the supreme form of Shabda Brahma, which cleanses the heart, the supreme form of devotional service, which cleanses the heart of lust and anger and greed, that, what is that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So to cleanse our heart of these unwanted things, which are the source of misery, it's very simple. Shravanam, hearing, kirtanam, chanting, Vishnushmanam, you remember? Remembering is, also you can take it like when you read, you're reading Krishna's pastimes, a form of remembering. Shravanam, kirtanam, parashevanam, archanam, bandham, dasyam, sakyam, soam. these nine processes of devotional service. So we've been practicing 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. It's still dirty. Heart is still dirty. Why? Because there's a quality to that hearing and chanting that's required. There's a quality. It's not just by chanting, but there's a quality. You can chant, you know, and think of so many material things, and you can chant and cry out to Krishna. And we talked about this after Mangalarti the other day, the quality of our japa. We can chant and get through our rounds. We can chant and so many things go through our mind. Like when you were chanting this morning, how many of you were just hearing the sound of Krishna's name? And how many of you other thoughts went through your mind? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. And what was the greater portion? Hearing the Maha Mantra or the thoughts that went through the mind? Probably the greater portion was the many things you thought about. Although it was mixed, the chanting was there. But were you really, oh Govinda, were you really thinking, oh son of Maharaj Nanda, Hare Krishna, I'm your eternal servant, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, somehow I fall in this ocean of birth, Rama, Rama, please pick me up, Krishna. Like you're calling to someone. Hey, Prem Harinam, Prem Harinam. Are you going, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Are you? As a quality. Something is valued. It may be an object, but it's valued by its quality. Like if I offered the living entities on this side of the room a gold nose ring, because I don't think you boys would wear it. If I offered you a gold nose ring, and I had the choice of 9 carat, 18 carat, 22 carat, or 24 carat. Now, I ask you, ladies, which carat would you accept? Really? Don't be humble. 9 carat. No, probably the 24, because, you know, women have gold not only for wearing purposes, but it's a type of security as well. And at marriage, the dowry comes from the side of the father. She gets a dowry. And the dowry, she gets a lot of gold and, you know. Who gives the dowry, Pallad? Her father. Her father gives her a dowry because he's giving her away. So just in case, because life is temporary, full of miseries, and death could come at any moment, maybe her Prabhu will pass away. And then what? She's not with her father. Maybe she's in some distant village, some distant country. Maybe Pita's passed away. She has a dowry. She has some security. She has gold. Nowadays, the poor girls, when they get married, they get plastic bangles, right? Plastic necklaces, but it was given for a purpose. They got beautiful gold, thick gold bangles, gold shoes. They got that thing that gives a sign of a marriage, Mangala Sutra, black and gold like this. And then they wear it the first day, and they don't go out in the village the next day like that. They put it in a safekeeping. But also gold has another value. Gold was used in Vedic culture because it curbs down lust. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. So woman, they say that women are 9 times lustier than men. That's what Chanakya Pandit says in the Nitya Shastra. So to curb down that lust, to make the mind peaceful so we can transcend and go back home, back to Godhead, ladies would wear the gold. You see, even in India, the village women, they're wearing gold. Village women are wearing gold. And it's not, no one's, you know, they're allowed to wear because, and pearls, the kings, everybody in Kshatriyas, they would also wear gold and pearls and emeralds. Pearls cool the mind. So we don't want those kind of pearls you get on the beach in Jagannath Puri. Most of you haven't been to Puri, but you walk down the beach in Puri, there's all these like heisters, these cheaters, they kind of come and they show you the same. Oh, that pearl, pearl, Maharaj, very nice pearl. Very first class pearl, how much is it? 100 rupees, 100 rupees. For him, it's a lot, right? He's 100 pearls. Or they bring this coral, you know. It's not really coral. It looks like coral, but you buy it. So you don't want to get, you know, if you're going to wear gold for the purposes it's meant to be had, not for, you know, prestige and fame, but because it's like security and it curbs our, helps calm our material passions down, you know, 124. 9 carat won't have the effect of 24 carat. You can ask my deities. Because when we get 9 carat, they go, meow. When they get 24 carat, and the Sringa loves that fine quality. Yes, so he even accepts used items. Because gold is always pure. You just wash it with some Ganga Jal. Most of the gold my deities are wearing was formerly worn by ladies. And he gives his Abhayamudra, his protection to them. We will protect you from all. Ito nishinga padato nishinga yato yato. Inside, outside, dangerous. It's the best protection, right? Give all the gold to my deities. But my point is, there's a certain quality to the material. Something's judged by its quality. Like we have, you know, in France, le pierre cadin, monsieur, madame, c'est très bon, le pierre cadin. Le vêtement, c'est fabriqué avec le marque, tu sais, c'est bon. Voilà, vous avez un vêtement, pierre cadin, mais vous n'avez pas le bon chose comme ça, c'est pas pierre cadin, vous comprenez? Do you understand? Pierre Cardin is a very nice mark, and what nice mark? It's all carmy stuff, but it's like a nice mark of clothes, Pierre Cardin. But sometimes you find in places like Taiwan and in Indonesia, you know, it's just Pierre Cardin, but it's not Pierre Cardin. It sells because of the mark. So our devotional service has to be of a certain caliber, a certain quality, to really get the desired result, to cleanse the heart of lust and anger and greed. First, the Prahlad quote of the other day, Sabai Pung Sham Padadharmo Yatur Pakthura Doksati Haitakirpitita Yayatma Supersedite. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which they can attain to unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to Yayatma Supersedite, to give you the full satisfaction. We're happy now. Our devotional service is mixed with the modes of passion and ignorance and mundane goodness. Imagine if we cleanse our hearts, how happy we're going to be. Our happiness is far superior to the greatest happiness in the material world at this stage of Krishna consciousness. Imagine if we make progress on this path, this road, if you see the signs, we're getting there. Oh, happy we'll be. One time after kirtan, a devotee said to Prabhupada, that kirtan was ecstasy. Prabhupada said, you do not know yet what is ecstasy. Ecstasy means when there's no more lust, no more hankering, no more greed in the heart, just pure, unalloyed Krishna consciousness. What is that 24-karat Krishna consciousness? Anibilasita sunyam, jnana karma narvitam, anukalena krishna nuk, shilanam bhakti uttama. That is pure devotional service. The Paribhasha Sutra of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that pure devotional service is that which is notably without any material desire, without any speculation, without any desire to merge into the Brahman. And anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttam. It's favorable because it's performed as Krishna desires. When we're doing it only for Krishna's pleasure, there's no selfish interest in it. This, you'll get that yayatma supasidati. You'll get that brahma bhuta prasanatmana sochati nakanchati. You'll get that panam drishta nivartante, that higher taste of Krishna consciousness, which, you know, makes the beauty, the pleasure, the happiness will just fade away in comparison. That we're hankering for. So how to get that? We have to, the devotional service, specifically devotional service stressed by Lord Chaitanya, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnushman, hearing and chanting about Krishna, we have to work on it every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We sit down and we're doing that intense kirtanam, shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting. We're allowed at that time every morning, that intense. Of course, it includes all aspects of devotional service, but the foundation for even the other aspects of devotional service is that shravanam kirtanam, that hearing and chanting. So we get that to take those, to cry out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So we've been practicing now for 2, 5, 10, 20, 33 years. But you have to be patient. You have to be patient. It doesn't come immediately. But the more your greed for Krishna consciousness increases as a result of the process and as a result of associating with devotees, because two things are required. And that was again mentioned yesterday. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, which means hearing, and by rendering service to the pure devotee. These two things, Bhagavata. There's the book Bhagavata and there's the person Bhagavata. By hearing and by serving the pure devotees or serving the association. Samsara sarpadushtanam vurchitanam kalo yuge asadham bhagavan nama srimad vaishnava sevanam. We often use this verse. We love this verse. That those who have been bitten by the serpent of samsara, the Shahara, the snake of samsara in the age of Kali. They shall get relief by Asadham Bhagavan Nama, chanting the names of Bhagavan, Krishna, and Srimad Vaishnava Sevanam, rendering service to the lotus feet of Vaishnava. Same thing yesterday. By hearing the glories of the Lord, and by serving in the association of devotees. This is a very potent remedy, and it will cleanse the heart. To the degree that we take shelter, the quality of our taking shelter of these items, it'll be slow, but it will happen. Not that it happens overnight. That is described in the Brahma Samhita, verse 59. Pramanais tat sada archaras, tad abhyasai nirantaram, bhuraya atmanatmanam, bhaktin apyutanam labdhe. The highest devotion, we're speaking about a very high standard of Krishna consciousness, the highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of spiritual evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. There you go. Little increments, we make advance in little increments in devotional service. And how do we do it? Every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And we are so fortunate that the central theme of this festival is actually Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam. We're very fortunate. We're blessed. Because as you know, many devotees and many of us during the year, we have our different duties, our responsibilities, and we're engaged this way and in that way. But this program is basically just a big festival. It's a big kirtan from the morning to the evening. We have our nice morning program. We go out and we chant Hare Krishna. I attribute a lot of the problems in our movement today simply to the fact that the devotees don't have enough association with the holy name. Because the holy name is Krishna's mercy incarnation in the age of Kali. The holy name, Srinam Prabhu, is so merciful, he's so purifying. And, you know, in the old days, quote-unquote, 1970s, we didn't seem to have so many problems. One reason may be that we were always doing kirtan. For one reason or another, we were always associating with the holy name. It was always coming in the ear in the morning, and during the day we go out with our Harinam party, distribute magazines, in the evening we come back and have Sundararti. It's all we did. When I moved to France, that's all we did. And then extended the book distribution, and nowadays, you know, of course, many things have come about, different responsibilities, but maybe there's not enough association with the holy name, that merciful incarnation of Krishna. It's just, oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Your holy name alone can render all benediction upon living. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. In all these names you've invested all your transcendental energies. And there's no hard and fast rule for chanting Hare Krishna. You've invested all your transcendental energies in your holy name. So beg, borrow, steal, but get the association of the holy name. And by chance or good fortune, on this program, we have a lot, don't we have a lot of association with the holy name? All day long. But make it more than 9 carat, 18 carat, 20, make it 24 carat. Chant with feeling in the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Gantara Shimad Bhagavatam Khe. Hare Krishna Mahamantra Khe. Srila Prabhupada Khe. Gaur Premanandi. Okay, here's back to the material world. During the last 24 hours, we wasted 12 tons of water. Is that true? Please tell devotees to be careful with showering, etc. The same about electricity. So there's a shower, and there's a shower. Somebody told me, I don't know if it's true, but they caught one devotee asleep in the shower the other day. They were against the wall. So don't waste Krishna's energy, because we don't want to waste Krishna's energy, number one. And number two, it costs a lot of money. So take a shower. Don't take a sauna, extended bath, a dip in the lake, you know. Just take a shower. Choo-choo. 24 tons of water. It's a lot of water. Don't waste Krishna's energy. Don't waste our money.
please.
Anything else, yes? Okay. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the methods of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. We will now take prasadam, and the bus will be arriving to take us on Sankirtan at 10 o'clock. And it's a hired bus. It's not the other bus. It's a local bus, so we have to be on time. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki.